says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the
upright is beautiful. I would like to read this. I take no credit. It's from Steve Atchley. And this is something Pastor Mike sent me. And it says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I stand in faith for the Holy Spirit to bring fresh, alive, and powerful revelation concerning Jesus today. As you gather, I am believing for his activity and power to be observable in your midst in the form of his gifts. The work of salvation and deliverance, breakthrough and many healing. Breakthrough and many healing. I am standing. Bear with me. I am standing in faith for a refreshing for those who come in Jesus' name to gather. I believe this is a time for the church, Lord of the harvest, to experience a fresh move of the Spirit to destroy distractions, bring encouragement in the truth, produce a fresh love for the truth, and make a bold witness for Christ. Being revealed to the hearts, each and every one, may you also experience the overwhelming love and power of the Holy Spirit. I am praying for such an overflow of the riches of his grace today. Be blessed, be enriched, be equipped, stand in awe. Lord, we thank you for Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship Church, Lord, that you have given us and blessed us, Lord, this house, with the leaders of the house, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that we don't sit and become sit in a stupor and half asleep and half awake, that we be doers, not just read your word, but, Lord, act on what you have given us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Be seated for the Lord's Supper. Those of you who don't have your elements, you can get them from the back table there next to the sound booth. For the Lord's Supper reading, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will pick up in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" This is Paul's version of the Lord's Supper. Paul talks about receiving it, in other words, something, it's a tradition passed down to him, and he in turn delivers it to us that we might be connected with that same tradition. Paul says, "I received it from the Lord." And one of the things we need to understand, and this is a critique of, shall we say, the tradition that we move in, charismatic Christianity, Spirit-filled Christianity. I was recently reading what a brother shared, and the brother is, he's a charismatic himself, so he can criticize as he chooses. He's also been participant in the ecumenical movement in the body of Christ, and so he understands the difference between what we call low church versus the high church tradition of the ancient church. Low church is what we do. We tend to, our worship is spontaneous. It might differ from week to week. We go as we are moved by the Holy Spirit. High church tradition, like the ancient churches, the Orthodox, the Catholic, and of course, a number of the Reformed churches that move in that same kind of flow. High churches, they have a set liturgy. They follow a specific liturgy from week to week to week. In other words, the difference between spontaneity and liturgy that's the same as you go year through year. The service in a high church it's always the same. It follows the same pattern. And he's pointing out that there are values actually to both. I was raised in a high church tradition, so I understand the high church. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, of course, and jumped into low church and Pentecostal, charismatic, Jesus movement, spontaneous kinds of format of worship, I was like, oh man, this is so good, and this is so liberating, and this is so powerful, not just going through the same things over and over, the same prayers, the same recitals, the same form to the service. And I remember initially feeling like how great this is. Well, having spent most of my life in spontaneous, charismatic, Pentecostal kinds of worship and service formats, when I go back and celebrate with some of my high church brethren, it's so awesome. It's like I go back and I say, this is so good. This is so cool. This is so great. Reciting the creeds and, you know, reciting the traditions of the church and following this format, like, my gosh. And you begin to realize charismatic connects you with the Spirit now, but the high church tradition connects you with what the body of Christ has been doing for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years. Can you imagine being involved in a format of worship that has taken place for 2,000 years? That's pretty incredible. There's a connection in both ways. And he went further on and made an observation. And he said, again, being an individual who understands charismatic and spontaneous and spirit-filled worship, he said that one of the downsides of charismatic worship, it's we're always feeling exhausted. We're always like, we got to press in and we got to do this and we got to satisfy the Lord, and are we righteous enough, and are we doing the right thing so the Spirit will move in the right way in our midst. And he says, and that can be very exhausting. It can wear you out. He says, whereas the high church tradition allows you to come in and be at peace with God and at rest with God. And you recognize that just in how Paul started out the declaration for the Lord's Supper, I received, I delivered. I received from the Lord, I delivered on you. That's a high church tradition. So what we've attempted to do at Lord of the Harvest, and again, for those of you who are raised in the Protestant tradition, how often do you celebrate the Lord's Supper? See, in my high church tradition, Lord's Supper was every single time you got together. If you had a meeting on Sunday, you were going to have the Lord's Supper. If you had a meeting on Wednesday, you're going to have the Lord's Supper. If you're having a meeting on Saturday night, it was the Lord's Supper. You always knew that. And see, our Protestant tradition doesn't do that. But we do that here at Lord of the Harvest. We partake of the Lord's Supper every time we gather together, because in the midst of our spontaneity, we're connecting to something that's been taking place for 2,000 years. Amen. And see, it's at the Lord's Supper that we are to find our peace and our rest in the Lord. In worship, it's like, oh, if we don't press in right, we're not going to see miracles. Let's be honest. That's true. That's exactly how we are. And you know what I've been finding more and more in worship? The Lord says, don't be pressing in. Be at rest. Yeah. Your pressing in isn't going to make the miracles take place. I make the miracles take place. I'm the one who makes the miracles take place. And I've been finding myself over the last couple of years, when I start feeling that urge to, oh, I got to press in and I got to get this right. Nah. It's like I hear the Holy Spirit go, nah. Don't do that. Forget about that. And see, it's the Lord's Supper where what we need to find is this connection. For I received this tradition from the Lord, and I also delivered it unto you. Can you imagine when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're doing something that was instituted the night before Jesus died. This is a 2,000-year tradition. Jesus started it and then said, whenever you gather together, do this. Because, yes, there's this pressing in, supernatural, spontaneous realm, but there's a connectedness realm that says, the night before I died, the first century church, the second century church, the fifth century church, the 14th century church, the 19th century church, they're all connected. And you know, that's what Hebrews 11 talks about, seeing that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. You know what the church teaches, that when we gather together as a local congregation, the church universal for all eternity is gathering with us. Do you know in heaven right now, our brothers and sisters who've gone before us, our brothers and sisters who are no longer with us, are there gathering together in worship with us? See, the high church tradition goes even beyond, oh yeah, we've been doing this for 2,000 years, or we've been doing this since the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, or we've been doing this since the Middle Ages. We've been doing all of these. No, we're doing it with the church eternal. We're doing it with our brothers and sisters who have gone before us. So that in Revelation 7, where John sees this multitude of tribes and tongues and peoples and nations comprising every people group that have ever lived. John, when he's being caught up to heaven in 66 AD, is seeing not only the brothers and sisters from before 66 AD, but he's gathered together with the brothers and sisters who are yet to die. It's just an incredible picture. And so, yes, we need to persevere. We need to press in. But we need to be at rest in God too. And see, it's sometimes where you see this, and unfortunately I've seen this too often, where Christians burn out. They follow the Lord for 5 years. They follow the Lord for 10 years. Maybe they follow the Lord for 10 weeks. Maybe they follow the Lord for 3 months, and people say, how come people come and go and come? They burn out. They burn out. And you see, we have to understand that when the Lord gathers us here, yeah, there's a time to exert all this supernatural, climb the ladder to heaven, come back down to earth, press in, declare, move spontaneously, powerfully in the Spirit. But there's a dimension where we just need to be at rest with God and at peace with God in what Jesus has done. You got to have both. You got to have both. You can't just have the, oh, look what Jesus has done of the Reformation, or, oh, look what we got to do, and we got to do, and we got to do of the Wesleyans. Come on, guys. Both of them leave us partial. We need both. And see, we need to understand when you partake of the Lord's Supper, hey, come out of that heavenly worship where you've been moving in a way and a manner and into a realm that you've never been in, and you're just going to get a hold of it. But when you come to the Lord's Supper, it's about what Jesus has done. And see, he did it not in ideal circumstances. Paul says, the tradition I received from the Lord, which tradition I delivered, I passed on you. It was passed on to me, and I passed it on to you. This is the tradition that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. Do you see the contradistinctions there? Do you see the opposite tendencies? Jesus is breaking bread to give us life, and he's in the midst of being betrayed. And see, this is why we have this other trajectory about being at rest in the Lord and being at peace in the Lord while we are being betrayed. You're being betrayed right now. Somebody's betraying you somewhere. Somebody's letting you down somewhere. Somebody's turning away from the Lord. But so what? That's just life. That's how life works. The life that the Son of God entered into is a life surrounded with betrayal, surrounded with the powers of darkness, seeking to destroy, to conspire, to overthrow. And in the midst of it, Jesus feeds us. See, the reason we're pressing in is because we know the demonic powers are there to betray us. We understand that. We get that. We get that we're in the midst of conspiracy and betrayal and warfare. But the Lord's Supper says, now come on, everybody, relax. Let's have some bread. Let's have a meal. Let's rejoice. And we need grace for both. The night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had wrung his hands in angst and anguish and anxiety because he's being betrayed. No. And when he had given thanks, he's like, okay, guys, it's not up to you anymore. Who cares? Spiritual warfare, who cares? Some of the greatest victories I've ever had in spiritual warfare is this warfare so intense. And I'm like, Lord, help me. The Lord says, I'll help you. Just forget about it. Don't even pay any attention to it. It's ridiculous. What, you think spiritual warfare, betrayal, is going to triumph over the celebratory meal that I want to partake with you right now? So, Lord, you're telling me not to bind the devil? Nah. He's already bound. I bound him. I bound him because I gave thanks. See, Jesus was binding the powers of darkness. Satan entered Judas to betray him. That's what Scripture said. Now look, guys, come on. Do you know how many people in human history Satan himself actually possessed? Probably one person, Judas. Satan sends his screw tape letter demons, you know, the little knucklehead demons to go do all that kind of business. Satan's too busy sitting on his throne. But Satan possessed Judas. That's how important it was to me. He's like, oh, holy smokes. For the first time in human history, I got to do the possessing. Everybody get out of my way. I'm going to possess him. And you know what Jesus said? See, Jesus knew Satan was possessing him. And here's how Jesus bound him. He broke bread and gave thanks. Said, you think I'm impressed, Satan, that you're coming to betray me? They're coming to try to destroy me? No. Here's how I counter you. I give thanks. Yes. Are you seeing it, guys? Are you understanding it? Are you understanding it? Pastor Az, we got to come and cast this demon out of this person. Okay, let's have the Lord's Supper while that person's there. Squirming with the devil. Let's have the Lord's Supper and let's just thank God and see what happens. You know there are all kinds of recorded deliverances that have taken place that way in church history. Let's just have the Lord's Supper and the demons will go. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, celebrate. Be at rest. Recognize the life I've come to give you. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. I know you're gonna rip my body to shreds, Satan. I know you're gonna break it all apart. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm feeding my people. I'm celebrating. I'm rejoicing. And this kind of incredible calm with which I approach my death, this incredible calm with which I approach your demonic subversion of my mission, this peace and calm, this is the tradition, Paul says, I want you Corinthians to receive. Stand in my presence and, oh, wait a second, this isn't anything foreign. You prepare me a table in the presence of my enemies. See, that's the good shepherd. That's what the shepherd does. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. My body's going to be broken. My blood is going to be shed. Eat, drink, be nourished. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance connects us with a 2,000-year tradition, a high church tradition that says, I want you to experience this peace and this calm and this thanksgiving. I want you to recognize that my broken body, my poured out blood is forgiveness and life for you. And I want you to, yes, press in. We're not gonna become, you know, Catholics or Orthodox here. God bless them, but we're not gonna become that. We're charismatics. I wouldn't know how to stop that if I tried. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, remember, now we become not charismatics or Protestants anymore. We become ancient church people. We're connected with the body of Christ and what it's done for over 2,000 years. And then Paul closes with this. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you eat it and drink it in the present tense, you proclaim the Lord's death, past tense, until he comes, future tense. See, that's high church right there. It's this connection through all of church history. This is the event that connects us with all of church history, not only what has taken place and what is taking place, but is what is going to take place. There's something transcendent about the Lord's Supper that connects the past, the present, and the future of God's purposes. Where God's purposes are founded in Christ, in his death, where they give us life now in his death, and where they're taking us to the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of God in human history into the future, Christ's death. So, Father God, thank you, Lord. Lord, we're not only connected with the church for its entire history, we're connected with the entire church. This is what the African church has done for 2,000 years. This is what the Asian church has done for 2,000 years. This is what the European church has done for 2,000 years. This is what the indigenous church, those tribal peoples that don't identify with any land, just their own tribe throughout there, that's what that church has done for 2,000 years. Thank you, Lord. We are connected not only with our brothers and sisters across the globe today, but we're connected with all our brothers and sisters who have gone before. And somehow, in your mind, we're even connected with our brothers and sisters who have not yet come, because they're one day going to be doing this when we're all gone. You are amazing, Lord. I don't understand you, but man, you're cool, Lord. I don't know, that's just my church tradition. God is cool. He's awesome. He's so incredible. We thank you for this, Lord. We take and eat. And we do it in remembrance of Jesus. We take it and drink. And do it in remembrance of Jesus. And we just allow that. When we're talking about God washing over us, we allow that peace and that thankfulness and that rest. That Jesus had at the Last Supper to wash over us and cleanse us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Y'all looking good? Everybody here? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Now, praise God.
Amen.
I'm wearing this shirt. A friend of mine at work, been knowing the guy, man, for 20 years, and been witnessing to him and ministering to him, and he came in and said, man, I got a shirt for you. And I was like, man, I don't want no shirt, man, with no, you know what I'm saying, nothing funny on it. He was like, no, man, this one got some nails and it's made like the cross. I said, okay, man. I said, bring it. I'll wear it. I didn't know I was going to wear it today. And then the Lord was like, wear that shirt. Yeah. Wear that shirt. Wear that shirt. Uh-huh. So he's watching by the internet now. But I just want to say, man, I love you all. I can look back and I see where things used to bother me and to where I had less control, and I see the work of the Lord manifesting now. You know, and I've been asking him ever since I've been here, man, what am I doing out here? And he told me, he said, I needed time with you. See, all of us are at different levels in our kingdom walk. Some of us are babies, some of us are intermediates, and some of us are seniors. But the thing that is God wants us, while somebody helps us, he wants us to reach and help somebody else. See, that's how it works. Kingdom principles, man, are totally different than anything you've ever experienced. It's different. And I'm starting to learn and I'm starting to see what God is doing with me is something different. All of you play a part in who I am. All of you. But I play a part in who you are too. Because God allows me to come up here and he uses my vessel to speak through me to you. Oz and Pastor Jan, they have blessed me. See, I think we look at those that have been out before us, we take for granted what they had to do to get to the place to where they are, where God could use them to fix you. Because, man, I was messed up and I'm still messed up. Y'all know me. I tell the truth. But I'm not as bad as I was when I got here. No, but Oz had the word. Oz had the personality. And Oz had the character to be my leader to get me to the place to where I am now, to where I can speak it out to you and the others. That's the Holy Spirit, y'all. That's the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this moment, and we just ask that you will touch somebody's heart, God, that people will go out of here changed, that they will go out of here renewed, that the word of God will start to sink and get deeper and deeper in them and start to spread our roots all over their being, Lord God, so that you are number one in their life, and you are Lord, and you are King. Father God, use me today. Help me to say what it is that you want to say, and help me to be who it is that you want me to be, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Pastor, I really thank you and Jay, because I gotta clarify this. I called Oz one time. I said, "Man, I forgot what I asked him," and he was like, "You just gotta shut up." But he didn't really say it like that. I heard it like that. He told me, "Well, I just be quiet for a day or two." I don't know why I heard "shut up." But no. I got to give you credit. It was the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit knows how to talk to each of us individually. I heard "shut up." But I thank God for being mature enough to see the enemy trying to get in there. He was like, "Yeah, man, he had to tell you like that and this and that and the other." And I was like, "Wait a minute, hold on, man. Hold on, stop, shut up. I ain't being offended by that." And 2 weeks later, the results of what he said to me and then what I heard him say, it took effect, because I was praying and I was like, "Lord, why is there such turmoil on the job? Why am I going through this and going through that and people can't understand me and this and that and the other?" And he said, "Shut up." I was like, "Shut up." And then he took me right back to what he said. "That's what Oz was telling you." He said, "Give it a day or two." He said, "But in your case, give it a little bit longer. Just be quiet." Now, I've always been one of those vocal kind of guys. I don't care if it led to a fight, if we were shooting at each other when I was in the world. I didn't care. But God chose now to deal with it. Because he told me, he said, "Bert, you can't go where I want to take you if you don't get your tongue together." And I'm like, "Man, I can't be that bad." But I saw myself. And you at home, I'm telling you, you're living out, some of us are living out ancestral issues. Things that have happened to people in our family, in our past, that was passed on to us. And things that have happened to us in different relationships and at old jobs and at school and at whatever. And we let that thing touch us. And then Satan grabbed a hold of it and ran with it, and you just followed right behind him. How did he do that? He got in because you let him in through your mouth. And I said, "Oh, am I that bad guy?" He said, "No, you used to be worse." He said, "Look back." He said, "The reason why you had so much trouble, because you always let the enemy in." People, we're letting him in. Let's go to James chapter 3. See, I'm going to, this is a two-part thing here. I'm going to show you one side of it, and then at the end, I'm going to show you what God is trying to do. Watch James chapter 3. And you can't tell me it ain't nobody in here that's been through this here. I thank James. This is Jesus' brother, James. And I thank James for this chapter because I don't think the Bible would be complete without it. James chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, everybody say amen. Take your time. Now, if you need some paper and pencil, it's going to be some good scriptures in here that will help you if you have a problem or if you're seeing that it's an issue where you're speaking out and you need to be quiet. You need to get these scriptures. See, because let me tell you something. I can't get ahead of myself. I want to go there, but I can't. The fullness of God, okay, let me just put it in layman's terms. The fullness of God ain't coming to you. The fullness of God is not coming to you. I know we sitting around wondering why this ain't happened yet and that ain't happened yet. It's your mouth. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I had to deal with it too. But boy, when I shut my mouth and I started to look at what the word said, whoo-hoo, I got checked hard. And that's when I seen I got some changing to do. Let's read James. Watch this. My brethren, be not many masters, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Now listen to this. If any man offend not in word, if you don't say anything to offend anybody, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Wait a minute. My mouth can set off my whole body? Let's see what he said. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Now, ain't that something? Horses weigh 1,000, 1,500 pounds. We got something to steer them around with. Let's keep going. Behold, also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, wherever the captain wants to steer it to, wherever his next destination is. Because listen, when you're driving a ship, the ships go from point A to point B to point C to point D. And they don't go, well, we're going to take this shortcut and we're going to stop over by here. No, it's in succession where they're going. Even so, the tongue, now remember that word governor. It's going to pop up in one of our later scriptures, okay? Remember governor. Governor is like the captain, the lord, the king. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Our tongue. It's a little instrument. But imagine how much it puts out. Imagine. Six, the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. This thing in here defiles my whole body. See, God is trying, this is not to beat us up with. Chapter 3 is not to beat us up. He's trying to get our attention about what damage our tongue and our speech and our words do. Amen? All right, y'all. All right. Now watch this. It's set up on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. My God. The course of nature? I looked up the course, and it's wheel. It sets on fire the wheels of nature. Guess what? When a wheel is turning, or let me give you a better illustration, a snowball. You ever been went skiing and was out there making snowmen and you needed a big snowball and you started a little snowball and you rolled it downhill and it kept picking up, kept picking up, kept picking up? That's what this does. It sets on the whole course of your nature. This little thing here. I had, I guess, about 3 weeks ago that I was supposed to speak, man. I couldn't. The Lord's like, nope, nope, nope. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something. This thing is powerful. But I got good news for you. By the time we're done with this message, you're going to be screaming and hollering. Because I'm going to show you how to use this thing to get some things. But you first have to understand the damage that it can do in the flesh, but then you got to understand what good it can do in the spirit. Because words are spirit. Not all of them, some of them. If you use them through the spirit working through you, they're spirit. Oh my God. Y'all with me? Oh, yeah. All right, okay, I'm taking it slow. Watch this. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now that's crazy. That's crazy. But then when I started to look at this, Pastor Philip, I'm like, man, you're right. They be at the job talking all crazy, and I'm sitting here hearing it. Now I see why you checked me, God. Thank you for checking me. He was like, you was just telling me, don't participate. See, some of us got to say, oh, okay, yeah. You know, Sharon, don't do that. Don't do that. No, you shouldn't do that. And then some people, you say, hey, what you doing? Shut up! See, that's what I was walking in and dealing with when I was a young kid and I grew up to a man and was dealing in that. And then when God got me, that's what God had to do. I keep telling you, I got saved in a cell in Jackson. He had to narrow me down to a jail cell. That is crazy. But he won, didn't he? Look, he won. He won. See, God knows what to do. You at home? Yeah. I know. Yep, you saying. We don't know my nephew. You don't know my niece. You don't know my granddaughter. Watch your tongue. A few weeks ago, son called, talked to my son. He just ran up me and down the other. God I said, it ain't that kind of game no more. He said, you got to take that. He said, because where you going, it's going to be always people that got something to say about you. Because your light is shining and what you're saying is piercing. I'm like, well, I was just trying to help. Lord, he say, is help them. Keep helping them. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to look out for you because you're being obedient to my word. Oh, man, see, this thing is tough. I know it's tough. It's tough for me. And even while I'm preaching and teaching it, it still impacted me. People, we brothers and sisters, we got to be careful what we say because it's really damaging us. But we have to learn. We have to grow. We have to mature. Okay, watch this. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain bring forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. Spirit is spirit. Flesh is flesh. Man, I had to wrestle with that one. But you don't know what they said. You don't know how they be talking about me. You don't know if they jealous of me. See? But these are the things that our flesh wants to say just to have some kind of comeback or retort. Amen? All right, let's go to Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. Is it ministering to somebody yet? Okay, amen. Because see, listen, man, we ain't bad people. But what we say can be bad. What comes out of our mouth can make us look like an animal, man. A maniac. We have to be loving, tender, kind, patient, long-suffering. Come on now. Come on. That's the flip side of this thing here. That's the flip side. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Real quick. I got a lot of scriptures, y'all. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Get these scriptures and you start reading them, and I bet you y'all going to be coming to me to my bird. Man, the Holy Spirit. Because, see, sometimes we think we slick. Guess what? I got to the point to where I quit letting it come out. But I still said it. Huh? Come on, talk to me. I know I ain't the only one in here. Come on, man. I know I ain't the only one in here. See, you don't always got to come out your mouth, but you still said it. The thing that's going to happen with that is, watch when somebody run to the back of your bumper. Oh, I bet you something come out then. I bet you open your mouth then. Or you slip and fall. You walking, trying to be cute, going to work and be like, up. You ain't going to be talking, oh, Lord Jesus. You ain't going to be saying that. That's what God is saying. What comes out under pressure is who you really are. Yeah, under pressure. Boy, when the Lord light that fire up under you, woohoo! Boy, I tell you, that ugly start coming out because he wants you to see who you really are so you can change. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. Them people coming and acting crazy with me so God can see what I'm going to do. Because he want to take me to that next level. He wants to bless me with more. but he ain't gonna bless you if your mouth ain't together. He's not. It'll be a little something here, little something there, but no. Not as a minister, not as a pastor, not as an apostle. You gotta get control of this thing. Because if you don't control your mouth, you don't control your whole body. James just told us that. Woo-hoo! Y'all at home, please leave it on. Please. Please leave it on. It's going to get better. I'm just a delivery man. 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. My God. Man. So if I keep talking all crazy, what am I gonna get? Berries and nuts? I'm a big guy. I need some steak. I need some mashed potatoes and gravy, some macaroni and cheese. I can't live off no fruits and berries. But that's just what he's saying here. He's saying your mouth. I'm making it funny, but it's the truth. He's trying to make us better. He's not trying to, with a stick, ridiculing us, waiting for us to do something wrong and hit us. Watch it. And with the increase of his lips, He shall be filled. Here's the catcher here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wait a minute, man. Death and life? Let's go to Matthew 12, 36, 37. We're going to be bouncing around. I'm just giving an illustration here of what the word gave to me. Amen? And there's many, many more, but I can't go through all of them. But I got two loose leaf pages from top to bottom about the tongue. And you know what I'm doing? I'm writing them down, and I'm sticking them everywhere in my room. I'm sticking them everywhere because I want to see it, and I want to say it, and I want to remember it, because I know that's the way my spirit man is going to get built up. You need to see it, what the word says, because I don't want to keep speaking that negative, sad, lazy, crazy language. I want to speak life. I want God to trust me. I don't want him saying, oh, man, I got to use Adrian. Man, I don't know if he's going to say what he's going to say. It's real. The spirit is life. The spirit speaks life. All the time. Okay. Watch this. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Now catch this. Catch this. I hear the Lord saying the reason why some of us, we're going through in our families. We're going through with friends. We're going through on our jobs. It's because we're letting things impact us to where it's disrupting the spiritual flow that God wants to do in us. We're letting the enemy get in with things that's being said to us and done to us. We're taking it to heart. And God is saying, no, You ain't flesh no more. You are spirit. I got to come down.
We are spirit beings.
Amen.
We are spirit beings.
Quit the flesh. Quit the flesh. For real, quit it. Because God already gave you the victory. That's why Jesus died. Remember? You got the victory. You just have to wake up and begin to command and begin to keep your foot on your flesh's neck. Man, I have to do it. Man, somebody cut in front of me, I'd be like, ugh. Now I'd be like, I didn't say nothing, Lord. Especially early in the morning, I leave for work by 5 o'clock, a little after five, man. Some of them be 100 miles an hour up 14 mile, man, in the morning. Some people be going 20. I don't know what they be in there doing. And between the people driving fast and the people driving slow, I'm caught in the middle. And I'm like, man, some mornings I'll be like, woo-hoo. No, you ain't saying that. But it reminds me that I'm human, that I'm flesh. And that's when I hurry up and bring the spirit. And say, Lord God, I thank you that I didn't say nothing. It's working. It's working, Lord. Okay, watch this. All right, let's do this. Let's do 34. 34, 35, 36. And 37. 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Man, tearing me up. See, but I've gotten better. The only thing that makes me feel good is that I've gotten better. I've changed. I listened. Let's go to Luke 6:45 real quick. And I got a few more. Luke 6:45. See, and I wondered why. I was like, God, why you want me to preach this? And I usually don't ask God why, but this time I did. 6:45, Luke 6:45. And I said, God, why you want me to preach it? He said, man, this ain't only for you. He said, your brothers and sisters need to hear it too. He said, you ain't the only one that's going through, that's in a battle, that's why. He said, oh, you're trying to die to the old man. It don't go away overnight. Watch this. 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in two different books. Now, I'm going to change directions with this a little bit now. We got it laid down, and it's the mouth. That's our problem. Because, see, you got to understand, if God is a spirit, and what he speaks out is spirit, then how can we communicate with him but by the Spirit? See, and then when you speak by the Spirit, it brings blessings. But who are you speaking for when you speak out negative things? Satan. He's hanging on every word you speak. Because every time you speak negative words, he can respond then. He can't respond to you saying spiritual things. That's why getting the whole word is so important. You have to be in this thing daily. I'm going to tell you something, man. God wants to create such a people in you all. He wants other people to say, man, what is it that you got? Well, I go to the Lord of the Harvest. Well, I want to come too. See what I'm saying? That's what people do. When you see other people, there's something different about them, and they just got that charisma, and they got that character, and that personality, and everything comes out of their mouth is positive. It seems like it's a magnetism there, because it is. Because who want to be around a Debbie Downer all the time? Come on, y'all. Talk to him. Man, put the stones up. I should have brought my shield and put my shield up. Put the stones up. Okay. Now look at this. Let's go to, we did Luke 6, 45. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. Now, I'm going to show you a different aspect of this. I'm going to show you what the Lord's side of this is. We've seen what it says about the tongue and not controlling it and, you know, just letting anything fly out. But watch what God did in verse 26. I want you to see something. 1:26 through 28. You got it? What's the first three words? And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh, over the fish, the sea, over the fowl, the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So God can speak and God can create. 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Man had some power, didn't he? But he turned around and gave it to Satan when he obeyed Satan over in the garden. He did too. People come on, yeah, it was Eve's fault. Yeah, whatever. 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 Because see, when you got this super duper fine wife and super duper fine woman in your ear, oh yeah. You're going to melt just like an ice cream cone on a 99 degrees day. Tell the truth, man. Come on, man. You know how it is. We always try to play this hard role. We ain't hard. I know eyes. No, don't you know eyes? Don't you? I know your eyes. I'm just being comical, but it's the truth. It was hard for him. He probably could have said, wait a minute, no. That God said, don't eat of that. Okay, now let's go over to 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. Now this is going to be, this is where the direction changes. 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. Now this is a powerful, powerful story here. When you have it, say amen. This is a powerful story here because I'm going to show you a powerful, powerful woman that controlled her tongue and she got what she wanted. And it wasn't by no illegitimate means. It wasn't by sweet talking nobody, trying to play on nobody. It was just straight up because this woman here, during my study, it said this woman here was a great woman. She was a great, you know, it didn't go into detail what she did, but she was a great woman. But watch at some of the things that she did. Now, what's tripping me out is it didn't say this woman was saved. It didn't say this woman held God at a high level. Let's read. We're going to start in verse 8. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So the great woman lived in Shunem. Shunem. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. So when Elijah was on his journeys, his spiritual crusades, he would stop and eat bread, drink some water, rest his feet. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. I like that. I like that. Listen to what she said. I perceive. So she was smart. That this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. I gotta tell you. She's smart. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when she and we had called her, she stood before him. And he said, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? He ready to reciprocate her. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she said, no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she say, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. Now, wait a minute. He gonna give her a child because she put him up in her flat? Gotta be careful, y'all. Make sure you listening to God when it comes to doing things, because I'm gonna tell you something. Coming out of it, man, can be a blessing. You ain't got enough room to receive it all. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. So the kid grew up. So it's been many years. And he must have been coming through there and staying there, and everything was cool and everything was all right. And he said unto his father, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him into his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. The kid died. Now here's the flip side. Coming up, just pay very close attention. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She cooking up on something now. It's amazing how fast you would think about doing something and getting something done when your kid is involved. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, out of the young man, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Now watch her response, y'all. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Listen, she didn't get started talking about, Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to the to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. She said again, it is well. How many of us would have said that? I'm trying to get you to see something. Some of the reasons why miracles, signs, and wonders ain't happening is this. It's this. Because when I started to look at things, I asked God why. I said, man, do we all got the same faith? He said, yeah, everybody got the same measure of faith. Even the same faith, Steve Fado got a measure of faith. But guess what? Steve Fado got an intimate relationship with God. Daniel had a measure of faith. But the thing with Daniel is, Daniel already knew he was going to the den, because they already said, if you break this decree, we're throwing you into the den of lions. But Daniel also knew God had already been showing him in his prayer time. He prayed 3 times a day. That it was stuff, other things that he wanted him to do. So he knew that them lions wasn't going to get him, because he knew God wasn't a liar. He knew God wasn't a liar. See, we have to know him like that. We have to know that those things that we desire when we pray, they are going to come to pass. But we got to check our tongue. It's our tongues. Okay. Watch this. And Gehazi passed on before them. He sent Gehazi to check things out. Well, let me read that, because that's important. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand. The staff was where a lot of the miracles was done through the staff. He gave it to Gehazi and said, go thy way. He thought this was an easy, smeezy deal. But God had something for the prophet. Watch this. Go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he rose and followed her. He thought, see, God didn't show Elisha this one. Prophets in the audience, he ain't gonna always show you things. He gonna want you to get right to the point of something happening. This way, the enemy can't intercept it. The enemy can't intercept it. You can't tell me God ain't stronger than the enemy. The enemy is supernatural. God is supernatural. But boy, God got so many more benefits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so many more benefits to serving the Lord. All I did was get in trouble out there, man. You know, getting shot at, man. People trying to beat me up. Car accidents. All that old crazy stuff. I know we ain't God. I'm like, man, this is beautiful. I like this, God. Move me to a nice, help me get to a nice neighborhood. Down the street from the church. Good neighbors. I don't hear no gunshots. I don't hear no ambulances. I can go in and go to sleep, man. Guess what? It takes me 2.2 seconds to go to sleep. As soon as I lay my head on the pillow. I ain't never been like that. Never. I mean, I would wake up, man. You could turn my door handle on my door. I wake up. Well, who is that? Not anymore. And God said, take this rest. You need it. Take it. You ain't had it before. Okay, let's get back, because I got to wrap this up, and I only got a few more scriptures. Watch this. Wherefore, okay, watch this. I'm in 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid his staff upon his face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. God didn't show it to Elijah that the child was dead. By the time he started walking on a journey to go see the child, I'm sure it came to him that he wasn't just going here for no stub toe. Wherefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha had come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them two, him and the kid, and prayed unto the Lord. And when he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes, and he laid his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. I used to, man, when I first started reading this stuff, man, I used to bawl. Daniel, Joseph, Elijah, it was something in me. And I would just start bawling. Because I knew. I said, God, I know I can do that. I just don't know how. Because I already got saved. I was already speaking in tongues. And people have told me, oh, man, you got to do this and that and the other. Before you get saved, you got to clean yourself up. And I listened to them because I would have probably been saved 10 years before that. They telling me I got to stop doing this and stop doing that, and I couldn't. Amen. And that's when I found out, when I started speaking in the Spirit and got saved and started reading this word, whoa, faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God does more than that. The word of God is spirit. It cuts all the way down to the joints and to the marrow. It cuts all that nasty, dirty, janky stuff that we learn over our fleshly lives. Okay, let's get to the point. Here's the point. And then he returned, I'm on 35, and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. This wasn't a regular resurrection. He was downstairs walking to and fro in prayer. He went laying on one side, and he had to go back up. Guess what the Spirit was doing? Somebody please tell me. He was waiting to see what the mother was going to say next. You know what we do? It be a blessing on the way. The angels be coming, and they be coming at warp speed to bring us a blessing. And we start shooting our mouths off, and they go whoop and turn around and go right back. I'm just showing you what he showed me. Don't be mad at me. It's the truth. Okay, gotta wrap this up. Okay. Watch this. And he called Gehazi and he said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in to him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. She never spoke doubt or unbelief. Never. You got it? Remember that. Let's go to Mark 5:21 real quick. Wrapping it up. Y'all at home, how y'all doing? I hope y'all all right. I ain't trying to offend nobody. I need all my blessings. I don't want none of mine blocked. Amen? So y'all, just if y'all you feel bad about something I said, please forgive me. Please, it's all God. Okay, 5:21. Mark 5:21. No 5:21? Oh, I'm tripping. Oh, yes, it is. No, that ain't what I want. How did I get that? Wait a minute, let me condense it. Give me. Okay. And when Jesus passed over again, I'm gonna read it a little quick. He by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Listen to what he said. He ain't even supposed to be kicking it with Jesus like this. Well, hold on. He a ruler in a synagogue. He talking to Jesus like he been following Jesus. But guess what? It'll change your whole situation when your child's sick. That's right. You'll come to your senses when somebody in your family you love dearly ain't well. Okay, watch this. And Jesus went, okay, he said, okay, watch this. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, and she will be healed, and she shall live. He said all the right things. Now, I could be wrong, Pastor, but I was thinking about this. How could this ruler of the synagogue that ain't saved say these spirit-filled words? It had to have been by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can come on anybody. He's that powerful. See? And this was for a point. This was making a point, too. Okay, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians, has and things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garments. Now listen, y'all. She ain't saved. She ain't even supposed to be out there. I believe all them other times she was going to all them doctors, people, Jesus was preaching. And she was following the rules because she ain't supposed to be out. Not among people. So that tells me right there, for her to go where Jesus was, she already had some type of faith in her that he could do it. Come on, y'all. See, you got to understand this, man. To get those things we desire, some of them could be to be healed, to be better, our children, our family, or something like that. But some of them, listen to me, y'all, some of them can be material things too. But you have to line the principles up. You have to believe it, and you have to speak the word of God. You got to speak the word back to God. You can't pray any old kind of way. Oh, Lord, yeah, I need this, I need that. Yep, I know you're going to do this. No, that ain't what Jesus said. I'm telling you a principle. You got to watch what you say, and then you got to speak God's word back to him. Watch this. Now, at this time, she did, because this woman, she already believed. She pulled that thing out of him. She pulled that healing. She knew she wanted it so bad. Now, I don't remember any other accounts. I don't remember any other accounts to where Jesus had to turn around to see who touched him. Watch this. For she said, I'm in 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. She didn't say, I shall be healed. She said, I shall be made whole. That's from the top of her head to the sole of her feet and anything else that got to do with her. Oh, you got to get this, y'all. This is what we come here for. This is what we come together for. If he did it for her, he can do it for us. Amen? I'm only teaching it and preaching it. I gave it to me. But he told me, my word works. And I believe it. Okay, watch this. And then we're going, I'm gonna get off this. I'm gonna do one more scripture and we out. Watch this. 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? All she touched was the hem of his garment. But that's what she said. See, if she'd have touched anything else, I don't even think it would have worked that way. Whoa! What? When you speak the right thing that the Spirit is showing you to speak, it works. But our mouth can't be trash mouth. We can't have potty mouths. You can't speak this powerful word right here and get some healing, and then tomorrow be cussing your cousin out. Man, why you coming in my garage taking my tools, blah, 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 and whatever he might have said. See what I'm saying? Okay, now, and the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Why sayest, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this. And the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And watch what he said. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole, and be whole of thy plague. Let's go to Mark 11:22, and that's going to be it. Now watch this. We went from speaking, we went from seeing people speaking it. Now we bringing faith into it. Because how they got the miracles in those other passages is because they believed in their heart, doubting nothing. Jesus wasn't going to do it if you didn't believe. Okay, 11:22. Watch this. Anybody got it? Okay, and Jesus answering said to him, have faith in God. I looked this up. It said, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, who is whosoever? Who is whosoever? So that means it can be me, my cousin, my auntie, my grandmammy. Come on. Okay. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. 25, now here's the conclusion. And when ye stand praying, forgive. That probably cancels out three quarters of us in here. Probably cancels out three quarters of us. Because somebody always gonna be trying to do something to you, because Satan is trying to get somebody to do something or to say something so you can get unforgiveness down in there. Because he knows, Satan knows that cancels it out. Even an attitude will slow things up. Oh, man. This is a pivotal point in a Christian's life. You got to stay out of that strife. You got to stay out of contention. You got to stay out of arguing. Just let people win. I learned that thing. I just let people win in my job now. And then one of the other Christian brothers came and said, man, Bert, you know why people don't like you, man? He said, man, the spirit all over you. He said, don't you think they see it? I said, man, I don't care about them liking me. He said, no, the Holy Spirit just had me come over here and tell you. He said, you come in here, you do your job, they like you, you hear, you get things done, they can count on you. And I said, that's what the Lord tells us to do. The Lord tells us to go to the job and work better than anybody else, don't he? Don't God expect us to be the best at the job? Oh, y'all better hear me. You can't, no, you can't be lazy walking around talking about, yeah, I serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, but you hiding every time it comes down to work. He said, your light shining. Now, we're going to wrap it up right there. It's a part two. I'll put it together another time, weeks, months later, whenever the Lord said. But let me say this. for real, y'all, we have to be careful of our mouths and what we let come out, because it's canceling blessings. I know some of y'all in here like, man, I've been praying for that and praying for that and praying for that, but all it takes is one incident. God ain't sitting there waiting for you to do it. He hoping that you don't. And listen to me. The gift of faith, one of the spiritual gifts, normally the gift of faith, that gift takes time. It don't just happen like that. That's the working of miracles, happen like that. The gift of faith takes time. That's what Daniel used when he got thrown over in there. But Daniel already knew he was going in there, so what did he do? Oh, Lord, save me. When he got down there, the lions were asleep. He grabbed a mane and packed it down real good and made a pillow and went to sleep. I researched that. I had to know how Daniel did that. The gift of faith, it takes a little longer. God, I love y'all. Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you, because I need to see these things manifested in my life, but not for me, for my brothers and sisters here, that they start walking around, that all of us are walking around performing miracles, performing signs, performing wonders, getting things out of the spirit, God, because we speak the right words. God, move on, Lord of Harvest. Change our direction to where we're doing might and great things for this community and in this community. And let us move in more than enough. You are the Lord that's more than enough, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We need to see that, God. Move, Lord, here. Let your grace and your mercy spill over unto us, Lord God. Healing, Lord. Healing for our grandchildren, healing for our sons and daughters, healing for our aunties and uncles and cousins and friends, healing, Lord God. God, do it. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.